Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, our guest today is Dr. Lita Jusila. Dr. Lita Jusila is a doctor of acupuncture and oriental medicine, herbalist, microdosing guide, and a natural medicine facilitator. She's also the co-founder of a cutting-edge company that offers biomarker-based insights for psilocybin journeys and other psychedelics. And you can find out more about Dr. Lita Jusila at her website, drlita.com. Welcome, Dr. Lita Jusila.
Thank you, Catherine. So glad to be here.
So for our audience, I met Dr. Lita Jusila because she and I are currently working on together as part of a team on with a certain client together. So I've been able to see the true power of Dr. Lita Jusila's wonderful work. So Dr. Lita Jusila, can you share for our audience, first of all, what exactly is psilocybin?
It's a great question. And just for the sake of this conversation, Catherine, just call me Lita or Dr. Lita. Thank you. So psilocybin is a chemical constituent from a mushroom. There are certain mushrooms that, they have alkaloids and tryptamines, just parts of the plant. Okay. Every flower, every plant has terpenes, right? Flavonoids that give its health benefits. But with certain mushrooms, they have active ingredients called psilocybin. And when you take them into your body, there's many ways to drink them and eat them and all the things. It converts to psilocin. And so basically it is psychoactive. It's a psychedelic. And in very simple terms, when it comes into the body, I want to make it really basic, but it creates new neural synapses, new neural pathways. And the reason this is so important is that many of us want to change. We are a product of the daily habits, and we could want to go to the gym or want to learn a new language, and it can be very challenging. And what I love about psilocybin when it gets into the body, into the brain, whether in microdosing or in a healing journey, it literally gives us that potential to make the changes with more ease and grace. It, that term neuroplasticity, right? Flexibility. And that's why I just love it, because after being, in the medical field for almost 30 years now, people want to change.
So can you share for our audience a little bit about your own personal healing journey and how you came to exploring psilocybin yourself?
What a great question. Thank you. Well, my healing path began, really over 30 years ago with this deep desire to understand how the body, the mind, the spirit communicate during times of change or trauma. I was searching for ways to break free from my own patterns that weren't serving me and to understand myself more deeply. I was born in Vietnam during the war. That was a trauma. And so I had that idea. And, as you mentioned, I am a doctor of acupuncture and oriental medicine, and I spent a little over 30 years practicing in California before moving to Colorado. And I moved specifically to do this work. But over those years working with patients and integrative therapies, I really saw that traditional treatments often help symptoms, but they didn't address the root cause. In Chinese medicine, we talk about qi, we talk about energy flow and about stagnation that leads to disease. And my curiosity about consciousness and about how the brain heals led me to explore psilocybin. And I'll tell you, Catherine, what struck me almost immediately was the way it seemed to help people reconnect with parts of themselves that they had suppressed, and not necessarily through escape, right? But through direct emotional and spiritual insight. And what I discovered personally was that psilocybin offered something that I have not found anywhere. And it's a doorway to seeing life and choices with remarkable clarity. And the last thing I'll say is for me, psilocybin has supported me in living a life I consciously choose and design rather than one driven by those unconscious patterns. And I want to be clear. I mean, life absolutely has its ups and downs. This isn't about escaping difficulty. It's about having the tools to meet life with more presence, clarity, resilience. You know, this ancient medicine used by indigenous cultures for thousands of years, it works beautifully in the natural medicine framework.
Now, Dr. Lita, can you explain for our audience who are your clients? What kind of people come to me to you for help, and what sort of problems are they wanting to solve?
Great question. So, honestly, I wish I could have a certain kind of person. You know, I'm sure, you know, in target markets and demographics, people want to know. I'll just say who I've had in the last month, 84-year-old woman. In 2 days, I have a 34-year-old woman, right? So age does not matter, gender does not matter, even financial. I mean, obviously it is an investment, but standard is someone that has PTSD. I mean, of course, veterans, but anybody with PTSD, anybody with real trauma, and a lot of people that have addiction, struggling with not wanting to do cannabis anymore. It used to work for them and now it doesn't. Alcohol. I mean, there's a huge movement to change people's relationship with alcohol, but any addiction. And I do have people come to me that want a reset. They know they can be different and they're struggling. They've tried all of these different things and they have been useful, but they felt like they've reached a ceiling.
Now, one of the questions that I have for you, Dr. Lita, is what is the difference between using mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms, therapeutically, and the mushrooms that we eat? And even if you go to the health food store, for example, you can buy lion's mane extract. So, what's the difference?
Well, psilocybin, mushrooms that contain psilocybin really promote neuroplasticity. So all mushrooms are friends, right? Psilocybin mushrooms love lion's mane, right? So you might take reishi as a supplement, as a tincture. You might cook with even you know, cordyceps. I mean, you know, of course there's shiitake, there's so many mushrooms. So the mushrooms that we cook with are unbelievable. Like, yes, please get them in. Fungi like other fungi. But these mushrooms that contain the active ingredient of psilocybin, again, it promotes neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity simply means the brain's ability to form new connections and adapt to change and to rewire itself. So, you know, we used to think of the adult brain as relatively fixed, right? But we know from science, it's constantly changing based on our experiences. And so, what I love about mushrooms that contain psilocybin specifically is that we want that flexibility, right? A lot of people are talking about metabolic flexibility. Psilocybin appears dramatically to increase that flexibility. I give this a metaphor a lot with a rubber band, right? You have a rubber bands in your drawers. And you pull some out, and when they lose that elasticity and they're dry, you never will ever get that back, right? That phrase, what doesn't bend breaks, okay? We don't want to become rigid in our thoughts, our behaviors, our thinking. And psilocybin literally dramatically increases that flexibility, okay? And what it does is it reduces activity in those rigid networks, encouraging that neural growth. We've seen brain imaging studies how it increases connectivity between two regions that in the brain that don't normally even talk to each other. So I often will tell patients, think of it as like softening clay, right? Patterns that were hardened by trauma or habit, they become malleable again. And just as I mentioned, like addiction, depression, PTSD, you know, these conditions, Catherine, often involve deeply carved neural pathways, right? Your brain automatically goes down the same road over and over. And if we think about the visual of our brain, those grooves, they're deep. And how do we change, even though we want to? So again, the alcoholic that automatically reaches for a drink when stressed, or the depressed person that automatically spirals into negative thinking. Last thing I'll say about this is that psilocybin, it softens those carved pathways, and it creates a state where your brain is more flexible, more open to new possibilities. And that's when and where new behavior, perspectives, and healings can emerge. And then combined with work that you do, right? That's when the healing can really emerge, when you combine it with therapy, healing modalities, mindful practices that really reinforce the healthier pathways.
Dr. Lita, I really am a great fan of your methods because I know that people can just buy psilocybin off the internet, which may or may not be a good idea. Can you explain to people your protocol? Because as I understand it, there's over 2,000 kinds of psilocybin, and you do biomarker testing to help people identify the right psilocybin for you at this time. Explain to us how you do that.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Catherine. Well, first of all, there's 210, not 2,000, but no, that's okay. And when Catherine's sharing that, it means that we've not we, but humans have identified 210 so far different mushrooms that contain psilocybin in every continent around the globe. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing, what gets complicated, and depending on the region you live in, the people that are growing and cultivating these mushrooms, because of course we can go and pick them, but there are cultivars, and what they're doing is they're hybriding them, they're combining them. Okay, so now you have the 210 natural native, but then you have people combining them, the genetics. So there's probably over 600 at this point. So the question becomes, when you or somebody comes in for trauma, comes in for PTSD, depression, you've tried SSRIs for 30 years, you want this to work. Okay, so there's two things I think about beyond set and setting and all those kinds of preparation and integration. There is what mushroom, meaning what alkaloids and tryptamines, what is in the mushroom, and how is that going to interact with your unique brain chemistry, your neurotransmitters? You know, that we're all different. You know, I always tell patients, listen, you have a brother or a sister, you share the same genetics, but you can't tell me that you have different digestion and sleep habits. So it's great to take into genetics, but with psilocybin specifically, when I run a genetic panel, I mean, I might be looking at seven or eight things, genes, but we're only really needing to look at that metabolism. And to be honest with you, I don't have patients waste the money on that, because whether you have a fast metabolism or not, that's okay with this kind of thing. So what I like to do is look at dried blood. So hair is an extension of blood, fingernails. I also can look at saliva. And again, I'm not looking at genetics. And I have a technology, a machine that I bought from Germany and a team of software engineers in Utah. And through that combination with my team in Colorado, we were able to scan all the mushrooms, and then also mushrooms that people grow, so the hybrid, and put it into a technology where when someone sends me a sample, we can run that against the technology and the software. And it gives us a list of all the potential mushrooms that are best for the client, and then which dosages are best.
Fantastic. So there's 210 different kinds of mushrooms all over the world that contain psilocybin, but you said there's 600 different combinations of mushrooms.
Yes, and there's more all the time because people all over the globe are making them, right? And you know, one thing I just want to interject here is that I love to remind people how sacred we are. You don't want to just put anything in your body. That's important. And also with psilocybin specifically, more is not better. You want the right experience, the right dose, because every mushroom has its personality. Some might give you more visuals, some might give you more deeper emotional processing. So the experience is very different. And for me, when someone makes the investment and really wants to change, Catherine, I have wanted to go at lengths to understanding this is personal medicine. This is, who is this person in front of me? And how can we best take them and support them and hold them into making sure that their intent becomes real, manifest? Yeah.
Fascinating and very, very powerful natural healing. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Dr. Lita Jusila, Dr. Lita, doctor of acupuncture and oriental medicine, and she's explaining about personalized psilocybin journeys. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Lita, can you explain for our audience what are some of the key scientific findings on the therapeutic benefits of psilocybin?
That's a great question, especially for our science-minded individuals who I love. Well, the science is actually very promising and truly remarkable. I mean, if I didn't read it myself, I wouldn't believe it. That's actually why sometimes I think, well, the name magic mushrooms is appropriate. Studies from universities like Johns Hopkins and Imperial College in London shows that psilocybin, when used in controlled therapeutic settings, can significantly reduce symptoms of depression, of anxiety, and PTSD. So that's what we have so far. I will say, and I'll continue, but there's so much more funding going towards this now. We've seen remission rates 50 to 70% for treatment-resistant depression after one or two sessions. I mean, that's far exceeding typical antidepressant outcomes. It appears to quiet neurotransmitters called the default mode network in the brain. So that's part is tied to that rumination and rigid thinking, right? So I mentioned that before. It allows new neural pathways to form. So people often describe this as like a reset, similar to how a computer restarts. But for anxiety, like particularly end of life anxiety, in terminal cancer patients, the results have been profound. People report fundamental shift in their relationship to mortality and meaning of life. I mean, we all want more consciousness to how we're being born, how we're exiting the physical. So psilocybin has been really wonderful for people exiting the physical. And then PTSD research shows a lot of promise with participants experiencing significant reduction in their symptoms. But what's important to understand is that psilocybin does not replace therapy or lifestyle work. I mean, it can open a window for deep healing, absolutely. As a clinician, I've witnessed firsthand patients struggling with, again, alcoholism, PTSD, addiction, when the depression medications don't work, if they want to get off them. And like I said, if I hadn't seen it myself, I wouldn't believe it. People who have been stuck for decades suddenly find themselves able to make different choices. And the medicine creates that window of neuroplasticity. And within that window, a real healing can occur.
Very powerful. Now, Dr. Lita, can you share with us what is the scientific research and what is your clinical experience on using psilocybin to treat addiction?
Yes. So smoking cessation, like I mentioned, alcohol addiction, any sort of addiction. So with alcohol addiction, we've seen it reduce, I think it's 83% after two sessions, right? They want to reduce alcohol consumption. And I'm talking people that have had a very strong relationship with alcohol 10, 20, 30 years. How do you explain that in one session, two sessions, some people reduce alcohol consumption completely after one session? So it is individual, but how do you explain that, right? So I, you know, like I mentioned, there is hundreds of millions of dollars right now. I saw last year in 2025 be invested in the research. We don't have a lot at this point because in the United States, it's still illegal federally. We have two states that are legal and 16 cities decriminalized, but they are starting to see so much more unbelievable results that I think it can't be ignored at this point. Yeah.
And since you brought up the legal landscape, so you mentioned that psilocybin is only legal in two states in the U.S. And so will you share with us what are the states and then what is the legal situation worldwide, such as in the UK or globally? Because our listeners are in 54 countries. So,
Okay.
Help me know.
Yeah. So in the United States, it's Oregon and Colorado. Okay. So that's when you get to sit with a licensed facilitator in a licensed center using mushrooms that are specific from a licensed laboratory and from a licensed grower. Like, so, and then you have to work with a licensed facilitator. It's very strict, which is good because people are coming in with very complex cases, complex trauma, multiple medications. You want safety. Everything that we do is about harm reduction and safety for you. Okay. That's the first thing. Now, what's also unique about Colorado is that you also can use mushrooms for personal use. Okay. So there's no like selling of mushrooms. You can gift someone mushrooms, but you can also pay somebody to sit with you for harm reduction and safety services. Okay. Now I did look up in the UK. So as of January, 9 days ago, psilocybin, again, the active component in the mushrooms remains strictly illegal in the UK. It's classified as a class A drug under the Misuse of Drug Act, which I'm sure you're familiar with, 1971. So that means possession, cultivation, supply, and production or production can lead to severe penalties. I mean, unfortunately, they're looking at, I think, 7 years, up to 7 years in prison. And so it's just, yes. And again, microdosing follows the same rules. I know that moms in London were getting a lot of news a couple months ago because they were like buying from another mom in a parking lot and it made global news. So microdosing is the same thing. Any fresh mushrooms containing psilocybin are illegal, prepared in any way, dried, brewed, the spores, you know. So let me just speak about the spores, Catherine, because I'm not sure if listeners understand. It's legal to possess mushroom spores, okay? But you can't sell you can't sell them. So usually it's like for study purposes only. So that's why you can look on the internet and buy syringes of mushroom spores. I'm a huge fan that I believe that you can grow your own food. You can grow your own medicine. That's just me. But again, you always want to look at your local jurisdictions. You want to, again, comply. Decriminalization means it's just low priority for police. Okay. So that it's just important to understand, to make sure that you're safe and not doing anything wrong and that you live the life according to your own beliefs. Yeah.
Now, how does psilocybin facilitate a healing journey?
So I don't want to continue to repeat myself, but so there's many ways to prepare the medicine or the mushroom or the fungus, as we say. And it's not what you eat, it's what you absorb. And so we like to make it in a tea. So we use warm to hot water. We often will put lemon in it. We'll squeeze a lemon because that acid will start to break down the tough fibers of the mushroom. So your digestion doesn't have to, because many people know that when you intake mushrooms with psilocybin, you can get nausea. And then we always invite people to add local honey, right? So any kind of local honey, the bees, the pollen, it's going to be great for the immune system. It's going to help, make the tea taste a little bit better. There is a study that came out at the end of last year, Catherine, out of Oregon, where a lab looked at every single possibility of delivery system with psilocybin. And what they found is orange juice will keep the potency for like not ever, but like let's say 2 or 3 hours. But just so you know, when we are sitting down with the patient or client, you drink the tea within 20 or 30 minutes. And so if you let what we call lemon tech it, when you add lemon and hot water and honey, it will keep the potency for very strong 45 minutes. So we don't have to worry about potency, but it does degrade by 10% every hour. They tried Coca-Cola. They tried everything. So the delivery system matters. And what we do is we have the client, sit there with their intent, drink the tea. A lot of it is around trusting that the mushroom intelligence will meet your own human and body's intelligence, and you will see, feel, hear exactly what you need to for your healing. And the experience is about 4 to 6 hours. The bulk of it is about 4 strong hours, and it's like an arc. And people relax with an eye pillow. And the reason we have them have an eye pillow is because we don't want them seeing and taking in more information that they have to digest. We want them having insight. And so with that eye pillow, it really allows them to go inward, to really connect with themselves, their own soul. And then we really learn a lot around music because the music moves the mushrooms. And so I never thought I'd be, quote unquote, a DJ, but we use music oftentimes with no words or in a language, medicine music, we call plant medicine music, to really make sure that they feel held by the sound, that they feel like more like the womb space, connect with their ancestors, whoever shows up. And then again, moving the mushrooms in a way that it really allows them to, have the experience that they came for.
Fantastic. Now, Dr. Alita, as you know, many people, instead of having a plant medicine ceremony, they'll do microdosing. What is your experience and observation about microdosing psilocybin?
So I love microdosing. I think I've been helping patients for around 7 years with it. And basically, microdosing is just taking a sub-perceptual, it's still psychoactive. You're not going to see, it's not going to be psychedelic. So it's sub-perceptual dose of mushrooms that contain psilocybin. Most people, a sub-perceptual dose is around, and I'm going to talk about dry weight, fruiting body, 100 milligrams, okay? If people have been on an SSRI or on an SSRI, it's competing for the same receptor sites in the brain, the 5-HT2A. So we would do often 250 milligrams for someone that has done, again, depression medication for a long time. But 100 milligrams is kind of the standard. And so for people that are sensitive, nervous, I'm always like, let's start slower, 50 milligrams. So you work with somebody on dosage based on their unique experience. And so, what I love about the mushrooms and doing microdosing is that it really invites you to just sit still for a moment or stand, often with your hands on your heart, to connect with this medicine and with your intent. It's like it requires you to participate because it'll work better. It's not that if you're taking vitamin C or vitamin D and then you're just kind of going along your day. This working with mushrooms specifically requires you to be present, to engage with it. And that's what I love. Not to be mindlessly taking something outside of me thinking this is going to fix me. Yes, it's going in your body. But I like to remind people, listen, it's going to weave into the fabric of your being and become part of you. Okay. And I'll tell you, yeah, like I said, Catherine, if I didn't see it myself, I wouldn't believe it. Some people feel results immediately in that day. They feel more peace. They feel more calm. They feel more joy. They feel motivated. Especially for people that get stuck, they don't want to leave the house. They feel like they don't like people anymore. They're afraid of people after COVID. So it allows people to be alive, be in that body, be more present, and want to be in the world.
Now, Dr. Lita, as we discussed when we introduced you, you have, what is it, 30 years experience in natural healing? Sounds like me, only 32 years, just a little, right? Yeah. Yes. So from your experience, how does psilocybin therapeutically compare with other holistic practices like meditation, breath work, or energy healing in supporting long-term transformation?
Great question. I often think of psilocybin, Catherine, as a catalyst rather than a standalone tool, right? And this is where my heart really is, because I see these modalities working together beautifully. So in my practice, I integrate acupuncture, meditation, herbal medicine, breath work, and when appropriately legal, psilocybin guidance. So think of it this way. Meditation is like slowly carving a new path through a dense forest over years. Okay. Breath work can absolutely accelerate that process. Psilocybin can sometimes help people reach insights within hours that might take years of meditation or shadow work to access it temporarily. Think of it like you temporarily will clear the forest so you can see all the possible paths at once, but you still have to walk the path, okay? But then integration afterwards, right? Work that you do, absolutely. Breath work, journaling is huge because emotions come through the arm. They come out of the subconscious. Body work, somatic integration body work, acupuncture makes those insights sustainable, because you can go to a weekend workshop and have an aha, but then what, right? So after a psilocybin journey, practices like meditation become easier because you've experienced this spaciousness, that silence beneath the mental chatter, that you know that it's possible. And when you feel a win in the first day or 2 days, there's momentum. You get energy from that win. Not to say it's not going to be a struggle, but you have more strength and courage. And then I'll say many traditions describe healing as a process of remembering wholeness. And plant medicines like psilocybin can sometimes help people reawaken that remembrance, okay? The neuroplasticity that psilocybin creates is a window. And again, we've seen clinically, they've looked at it 2 strong weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. That's when the daily practices become crucial. That's when you're literally rewiring your brain, and then the meditation, the breath work, the energy work, that's what determines the what new wiring you create. So they're not, these tools are not competing approaches. They're complementary tools in what I call a toolkit for transformation.
Fascinating. And with that, let's take a break and listen to another message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Dr. Lita Jusila, doctor of acupuncture and oriental medicine. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment, we explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Lita, recently here on the Natural Healing Show, I interviewed a guide who does microdosing specifically for older patients to prevent dementia and heal dementia. How does psilocybin and the neuroplasticity and the really brain integration that you describe, how does that prevent or heal dementia?
Great question. Well, I'm really glad to be seeing this uptake of older people. So brain health, there are many different, and if I may bring in Taoism and Chinese medicine a little bit, that each organ, each of your vital organs actually play a role in your brain health. Okay. So for instance, you have short-term memory, you have long-term memory, you have concentration, focus. There's different aspects of the brain. And so over time, I mean, we are living in a time where there's more environmental toxins and mold and heavy metals and parasites. And we know that plaque can build up on the brain. Okay. So, and if I may get a little woo-woo, is that when we go through life, sometimes we bookmark things, right? We don't want to, you know, there's no time for that trauma or, you know, that stressful situation. And we don't go back and go back to the places we compartmentalize emotionally and mentally. So what happens over time in this dynamic, you know, thing we call the human body and the brain is that it's a recipe. I don't believe it's one thing, Catherine. I think that, you know, when we don't go back to our traumas, we stuff them. We use tin foil and we drink out of the tin aluminum cans and we cook out, you know, there's all these things that can cause plaque, especially heavy metals and mold in the brain. So then we have a huge population that we didn't know. I mean, with technology, we know now maybe not to use aluminum pans to cook with. So I'm just giving you some very basic things, but with a lot of floods, climate disasters, people are living in moldy homes. So this, all of this exposure affects the liver, and the liver really, really can have a deep effect on the brain. So around dementia specifically, I like to view it as, well, there's a couple of different ways. In this country, we've looked at Alzheimer's as like type 3 diabetes, right? We have a major sugar handling process overload in this country. Sugar comes from all different sources, unfortunately. So again, there's a lot of ways to look at dementia, but let's talk about the microdosing. So psilocybin will come into the brain, into the body in either little doses or big doses. But regardless of the size, I view it, and the indigenous cultures view it as Pac-Man. It eats up anything dark and heavy and dense to just lighten you up, okay? And we can feel that emotionally. So I like to say that when people are struggling with especially dementia, The neural pathways that I talked about, the neuroplasticity, it gives this person the ability to have new thoughts, have new feelings, and it wakens up different parts of the brain that might have been dormant. And again, it's not a quick recipe. I always say to people, because you want to start microdosing, let's start looking at some of the other lifestyle behaviors you have. And if you do adjunct modalities at once, it's a lot more efficient to get to here, which is clarity of the mind. I hope that makes sense.
Of course. Now, going back to your work, you're basically doing personalized psilocybin journeys. And I really appreciate the testing that you do to make sure that people are getting the right psilocybin for their situation. And, you know, that's one of the fundamental principles in natural healing. Everybody is biochemically unique. So you can't say that one remedy is right for everybody. That is not true. So when you set up a journey for people, when you're doing a psilocybin healing ceremony, what role does set and setting play in these experiences?
So much. One of the things I would say is that they're absolutely crucial. So set refers to your mindset. So your emotional state, your intention, right? Preparation. Because if you're going on a journey, right, you want to look at the weather, you want to have the right shoes and the right jacket. So it's really important, this the set, the mindset, emotional state. And the question I often ask is, are you approaching this with curiosity or desperation, with openness or resistance? Okay. And then setting is the actual physical and social environment. Is it safe? Is it comfortable? Are you with someone you trust? You have to relax. Everything is about the nervous system. So in a safe, supportive space, these experiences can lead to profound healing. But in a chaotic, ungrounded situation, they can feel overwhelming and even traumatic. Unfortunately, people have had trauma in a psychedelic experience. So that's why there are universities, there's licenses, there's trained facilitators, proper integration, and of course, community support are essential. This is absolutely not about escaping reality. It's about approaching it consciously. So in my training at Naropa in Boulder, we learned that preparation and integration are actually more important than the journey itself. So before a session, we explore what patterns are ready to be released, what questions that maybe someone's holding, what support they need, and we create a container of safety that is utmost. Because if you're coming in with religious trauma, we're not going to play religious music. We're not going to have anything visual, a symbol, right? Details matter enormously, because when you take that eye pillow off, you don't want anything triggering. Psilocybin makes you highly receptive to your environment, to the energy in the room, to beauty, to music, and to the presence and the consciousness of the guide. Okay. It's kind of like a superpower. You can just see things, hear things. So we become very sensitive. Think of it like a baby in the womb. You do everything when you're pregnant to protect that. And that's what we do for your inner child. And then after the journey, Catherine, you know, integration, like I said, is where the real work happens. The client has had insights, emotional releases, and oftentimes profound experiences. But how do you bring that back to your daily life? And without integration, even powerful experiences can fade without creating lasting change. I've seen it. People have had psilocybin experiences, and then they come to work with someone like me, with the trained facilitator, because they lost it, right? So we hold the container through all three phases: preparation, journey, and integration.
So I so appreciate the safety that you bring to psilocybin journeys. Who should absolutely avoid psilocybin? What kind of individuals need to be aware and not do it at all?
Well, first and foremost is if you have schizophrenia. Oftentimes we say if you have schizophrenia in the family, if you have psychosis, active psychosis, we cannot treat you. This isn't the right medicine for you, especially at this time, or maybe even ever. That's important. Outside of that, those are the main things that qualify or disqualify somebody. Okay. I forgot the rest of the question.
It's okay. So Dr. Lita, if there is one thing that you really want people to understand about psilocybin, what would it be?
I'd say that healing, whether through psilocybin, meditation, working with Catherine, acupuncture, even being in nature. This is really about connecting or reconnecting to our innate capacity for wholeness. These journeys don't fix us, but they remind us that what's already whole inside. What I've witnessed over 30 years of my personal work and now in clinical practice is that psilocybin has a unique capacity to help people, help you reconnect with yourself, to others, to nature, to meaning, to purpose, in a world where so many people feel disconnected, they feel stuck. And this is why this is profound. My hope is that we approach every healing path, including psychedelics, with reverence, with curiosity, with compassion for ourselves, for each other. I invite you to stay open, to stay curious, the fact that you're listening to this podcast, and to trust that when you're ready, the path, the person will appear. And if this conversation resonates with you, you know, start by educating yourself, like here, like read the research, you know, explore to see if this path really calls to you, and then find somebody you trust. You know, obviously, whether it's in a licensed facilitator in places where it's legal, you can research programs. There's people you can be a part of, a clinical trial, or legitimate practitioners. There are indigenous people that have had this passed down through oral traditions, and they are absolutely legitimate and safe people to work with. There are many communities all over the globe where they are growing, the communities are growing around this work, and there's more resources and more trained guides ever available than before. And the last thing I'll say is, remember that whether you choose to work with psilocybin or not, healing is possible. The fact that you're listening to a show about natural healing means that you're already on the path. So I want you to trust yourself, trust the process, and know that transformation is always possible when you're willing to do the work.
Very profound message. Dr. Lita Jusila, really appreciate the carefulness and profound transformation that you offer. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is available on Substack. Dr. Lita Jusila. You can find out more about Dr. Lita Jusila and her life-changing work at her website, DrLita.com. And remember that psilocybin integrates and helps you to make the connections. And when you make the connections in yourself and with the world around you, you can heal yourself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Mira Natural Healing Show.